This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Jake is on a golden mic streak this month. Amir got another 30. He never got one golden mic. Jake has over 430. Welcome to the show, if I were you. It's an advice show, if I were you.
Nice.
Whoa, I was really settling in for that. I thought it was going to keep on going.
Yeah, he sort of...
Why didn't he keep on going?
Well, he said that like 30 seconds was probably enough for a theme song since, you know, there's still the entire episode to go. So he didn't want to do like a full song parody for it.
Yeah, but I mean, that was so good. That was like better than our show. So like it really should have kept on going.
I mean, I guess I could play it again or something.
No. You don't need to have to play it again. Like, it needs to go on. We need to hit the chorus. We need to hit the bridge. We need more verses. You can't just, like, loop.
Do you know
that.
Do you know what the song it is?
Yeah, it's on the tip of my dick, but I don't know the actual...
Yeah. It's like, I know the song, yeah. But I don't know anything about the song.
Yeah, I can hear it
it's
really
the song
well
that starts with,
head.
Like, da 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 far away.
I don't want to lose your love tonight.
Yeah, so it's called Your Love by The Outfield.
Nice. Great song. What a jam.
I've never even heard of The Outfield, but I really know that song and I like
it. Yeah, what a famous song for me not to know how it goes or who sings it, but it's like instantly recognizable.
Yeah, like it could have been like a 90s song, a 2000 song, an 80s song. I guess it came
out in
84 or 85. Yeah, close.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah.
Well, that parody was written by Anderson Reagan, who's been watching us since 2009. If you could shout out my new project, Acid Goth. I've just released an album called Rapid Exponential Growth Machine, streaming everywhere. Thanks so much and nothing but love.
All right.
Interesting. P.S. My pronouns are they, them. Oh, shoot. I don't know if I read that too late. I don't know if we referred.
I think you did.
So they are releasing a new project called Acid Goth, and it's called Rapid Exponential Growth Machine. So there you have it. Thank you, Anderson Reagan.
Yeah, people don't know that you read these emails for the first time live on the day. I think they imagine that you would take that in, internalize it, then present the information. But oftentimes...
No. Yeah.
You're reading it the first time.
It's a little more
I'm
haphazard. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I apologize to them now that I know. So nice. There we have it. All right. This is a Thursday record, January 14th. Episode comes out January 18th. Jake, do you know why that date is so specifically special to me? January 18th, this is a Monday episode, a very special episode. Why do you think that is?
It's MLK Day. Which
January
is nice.
18th. MLK Day,
yes.
Yes. Which is, important. But why specifically that date to me? Is it so good for me to have it that date, to have it come out?
For
it's like a gift to me almost.
man.
That 118.
118.
Like how August 5th is a big close. Day for you.
I was going to say, yeah, August 5th, it's close to my half birthday. Is my half birthday January 5th or February 5th?
February, yeah.
All right.
But so, this yeah, is like it's specifically, cool. It's like, I'm talking about
the 2 dates. Yeah, that
I'm not talking about in between. I'm not talking about my half or anything. I'm talking about like what's that? What's 118, 83? That big day for me.
118.
It's my birthday. That's right.
Oh, it's the day you were born.
And as it.
It's like the anniversary.
And so when it's my birthday.
The day that you were born.
I know you didn't think or that far ahead, but I'm sure you have some special little things peppered throughout this episode to make it feel like it's a special day.
I hope you're not like projecting the idea that I'm going to have birthday gifts for you throughout the episode when I it's pretty clear just now that I didn't even know that it was your birthday. So we're recording.
Yeah, very clear.
Your expectations should be rock bottom for me to do
anything for me. I'll keep them rock for me bottom. To you.
I mean, don't wink, especially not like that. Especially don't wink like you're blinking and crying. You don't need to frown when you wink. It's just an eye movement.
All right, we'll call that the first gift, a little tip, a trick about how to blink, which I appreciate, but obviously I want
as long
other
as that can be the
too.
Gifts, I'll just give you tips and advice throughout the episode. As a gift from me to you, you should get Invisalign or something because your teeth are really bad, is all I was going to say. Yeah, like Invisalign.
Well, you got me something like you got me.
No,
like,
no, it's the advice that you should have veneers because your mouth veneers. And your smile is bad. And I would wonder, and actually this is why it's a pretty good gift to tell you to get veneers. I think that if you had veneers, your voice
fake
would be
teeth?
Better because your voice is bad. If you could shave and file your teeth down to tiny little points, and then the dentist locks
well, I
in
might get sick if I go to a dentist right now.
In your, it would be worth it. If the dentist would lock in false teeth in your gums, you would have a better mouth and a better smile and maybe a better voice because as it stands, that stuff about you is all really bad. So happy birthday.
Yeah.
And that's just like a friendly tip that you get to unwrap live on the episode, which is pretty neat.
Yeah. Whoa. That threw me for a loop, but let's see if I can... Woo! Fuck.
Are you getting choked up? I know it's a pretty cool gift because you look up to me and you admire me and I'm giving you some real advice about how to make yourself.
And I do appreciate your honesty. I thought you would get me.
Sorry, I was just going to say not outwardly.
Thought you'd get me a watch. Thought you'd get me a watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Hey. But what you did was insult my teeth and my voice.
Don't believe me, wristwatch. Don't believe my wristwatch.
Because it's broken.
Right, twice a day.
All right, you know what? Let's soldier on. This is, after all, an advice show, a podcast, the only advice podcast on the web, still hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I am Jake.
Do you know how old I'm turning?
Are you turning 38?
That's correct. The big 3-8.
3-8. Wow. How does that one feel?
Pretty fine. 39 will be pretty bad. And if at 40, we're still doing the podcast, I think that's it for me, personally. Like, that will have meant I haven't done what I need to do in this arena. Mm. And I will have, like, it's time for to call it quits.
Wow.
As a comedy person, a creative, and as a man.
Like, so you're giving yourself the deadline of this Monday to accomplish everything you want to accomplish?
No, age 40. I have 2 years to sort of
40.
Get out of here.
I see.
Yeah.
You're giving yourself
and
till
then
40.
By 40. And then, yeah, if I'm still doing, I will be a boy. I think I will be a boy if I don't do that by 40, 41.
Excuse me?
I really think I'll just spend my 40s as a fucking child. I'll just call it quits. And I think I will. I think I'll just move somewhere and hire like a fucking actor to play my daddy and a child actor to play my kid sister, and I will just live off my life paying people until I'm a little boy and I'm dead. I really think I will.
Sorry, your and job, I don't even want you, you to if you try can't to make it as a comedy me. Writer or performer by 40, your job will be to pay people to act as your family and you'll be a boy. That wouldn't be a job. That's giving other people a job. You would be an eccentric and you don't have the cash for it.
I think for as long as I have money until it's gone, I will pay people to boy me that decade. And then at the end of it, I will get like some sort of
what
accident to happen to me.
I gotta say, man, I really hope it doesn't happen for you, because I think the rest of your life as a boy and then dying in an accident, hopefully soon after, that sounds like about right, you know?
Like, yeah, I think
for your plan I really B think to it'll be like a boy.
Yeah. Plan boy, yeah. We're calling it plan boy as of now. I will be plan boyant and I will be 11 until I'm gone age 40.
I didn't want to know how old you were going to be. 11's a weird one. It's a really bad in between.
I don't really remember. Yeah, I don't remember 11, so I'm just going to do it again until I'm done with that, as it were.
Yeah, and then you'll be dead by accident.
Exactly. I'll choke on a corn or something. We'll figure it out.
As any boy will do.
Oh, this one is actually written by not an 11-year-old lady, but a 21-year-old lady. So 10 years older than me as a boy, as a lady. Do we have a 21-year-old's lady name?
Do you know any 21-year-olds anymore? Jeff is the youngest guy we know.
Yeah, and even he's 23.
Wow. Old as hell.
It's funny to imagine he could have like a 12-year-old sister.
Jesus. Yeah, that's crazy. Okay.
So let's just assume it's Jeffrey, but a woman at age 21.
Jerry.
So like, Jerry, yeah, with a G. Writes, so first off, for context, I'm a lady, 21, and recently moved into a house with two guys who are absolutely wonderful, except for this one little thing. They piss on the floor all around the toilet, so much so that when I go to use it, I have to stretch my legs out completely so as to not get pee-pee on my feet. I don't know how to bring this up to them as they are 19 and honestly probably don't even notice their revolting acts. Also, judging by the unreal amount of fish sticks being consumed in our household, I think this is the first time they're living away from their parents. Do I have a family meeting, leave a sticky note on the toilet, or put down a drop cloth? Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Cheers. Love, Jerry.
Jerry. What are your pee habits? You're a leave the seat up, leave piss on the rim type guy. Isn't that right?
Yeah, when we lived together, I would just sort of spray it down, as it were. And if like the next person wanted to deal with it on the day, they can sort of figure that out.
You would sprinkle whilst you tinkled, for sure. And
yeah.
Why do you think
actually,
that is?
I have pretty poor aim when it comes to toilet seats.
Is that because your penis is so I was just going to say, is it because it's so like close to your body in the way that it's like?
I don't think so. I think I have a really long hog and I don't want to get it wet.
You have a short dog.
I have a small little dick.
You have
a
little nub,
but
it's
and
hard
like
to
the
aim
hole
it.
Is almost
yeah. It's hard
yeah,
to aim
the hole
it
feels like a shower nozzle. It's like
it's almost like a nipple. Yeah, I was gonna say it's almost like a nipple. Like how could you?
And I don't
angle
pee
that
as
down?
Much as I gleek, if that makes sense. So instead of a stream, it's almost like a cobra strike. Like I have no aim whatsoever. It goes every which way but down,
and it hisses.
It looks
out
like
of
I'm
you.
Pissing in. Yeah. It feels like I'm being in zero G, the way it just floats almost aimlessly.
Bounce
towards
off the wall
me.
Right onto your chest. Yeah, I've seen it before.
Actually, I do have bad aim, and that's why I prefer to just sit down when I pee. Because I'm like, I don't want to like lift the seat because then I'm touching it. I don't want to try to thread the needle with the seat down because I'm invariably going to get some on the seat. I'm just going to take a seat, look at my phone, pee, get up, get out, leave the room.
Yeah, and I lift the seat, but I kick it up. I do it with my foot, even at home.
Kick it up and then kick it down?
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems like it's harder than sitting. Why not just take a seat?
I think it's harder to take your pants off and put them back on. I mean, sometimes if I'm in like sweats, I can do that, whip them down, sit, like look at my phone, stand up. But
yeah,
if I'm wearing regular pants today, I'm not going to put them around my ankles just for a piss. I piss too often for that to be an option for me.
That's true.
I pee a lot.
Yeah. You have a high quantity, and I really have a high quality. My piss is just like once a day, but it's
orange.
Perfect. It's the perfect. Everyone says it's the perfect piss.
It's been analyzed by a lot of people, I heard. To a T.
It was the perfect urination.
Everyone said it's the perfect piss.
To a P.
I think that like guys having bad pissing habits is like it's just enough of a cultural touchstone that it's not even an uncomfortable conversation to have with these guys. It's not like you have to be like, hey, your breath smells really bad, or like,
yeah,
you left a skid mark on the back of the seat, which is like really gross. It's like, I'm living with guys, you guys are pissing on the floor, you're pissing on the seat, that's not gonna stand. They're gonna have this conversation at some point in their lives. They're eventually, someone will yell at them, whether it's you, another roommate, whether it's a significant other someday, it's going to happen. So you might as well break the seal and just be like, this cannot stand.
And you cannot stand anymore.
Yeah.
You should almost require them to do my special, which is the sit and pee.
Yeah. And also, you can take the door off the hinges so you can watch to make sure that they're sitting while they pee.
Yeah, or a Ring camera or something.
That's right.
And a taser on a rope. It seems like if they're missing the seat entirely, it's landing on the floor. That's like that's next level. That's egregious. Like I can understand lifting the seat and leaving some on the rim that happens to get there.
There's
leaving
a lot of ways to make a mess.
It's bad. Like, leaving it on the floor.
If you have too strong of a stream, it can splash out. I mean, you really, even when you lift the seat, you'll often have to wipe. But I think that at the very least, one of the nicer things about lifting the seat is if there's like the tiniest little dripples, you can be like, I'm going to get those when they accumulate. You lower the seat and that'll cover them up, because no lady you live with is lifting the seat. That's just for your private little viewing area.
So what's your success rate with regards to having to wipe after? Is that happening 20% of the time, 50% of the time?
I think probably maybe 10 to 15% of the time. It's low. And when it happens is when I have to pee really bad. And I'm like sort of starting to pee when I take my dick out. And it like does look like I've been in a situation where the spray was bad, where it was like I needed to.
It wasn't true.
I've pissed on a wall before.
Yeah, it starts off errant and then sort of it zeroes in on the toilet as you pee.
The real word, like if you're lucky, you could just do like a casual like roll of toilet paper, you wipe the seat, you wash your hands, no big deal. It's really no big deal. But what's really I've looked at my phone and realized I was pissing against the rim, like splashing, like puddling on the floor.
Yeah, because you're so fucking engrossed. You're like on Parler pissing, and it's like, it's not even hitting the toilet. It's like almost, it's,
yeah.
It doesn't make a noise because you're hitting the toilet paper.
It's
almost
hard to plan a coup and also pee true at the same time.
It's hard to coup while poo. Mm-hmm. So you have to like focus on one coup thing or the other. Yeah, I took a number of coup. That's when I plan to storm the Capitol while having diarrhea at the same time. Did you notice the detail that you left in where it said the amount of fish sticks being consumed in the household? This is their first time living away from their parents.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
I recently had fish sticks, I want to say maybe for the first time in my life recently.
And like frozen ones?
Yeah, frozen little fish. They weren't stick. They're almost like nuggets. Because I didn't really eat fish growing up.
Right.
But my parents had random frozen food, and my mom's like, just take this stuff. We're never going to get to it. And one of it was frozen fish nuggets, and I tried it the other day because now I'm eating fish, but I'm an adult, so I rarely get the fish nuggets.
Right.
I still can't get fully behind it because my brain is still expecting chicken,
yeah,
and it just tastes like spoiled chicken nuggets almost. Like, yeah. It's hard for me to get behind the Filet-O-Fish of it all.
Fish, there's a weird little tang to them. I can get into it, but like, it's a little weird. I'll tell you what though, I made some homemade fish sticks, like a fish and chips style fish stick. And that's...
So you were battering, frying, and doing all that stuff yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Very, it was delicious. That was good.
What fish did you use?
I used a cod. I believe it was a cod. And oh my God, it was a cod. Or it might have been a hake, for goodness sake.
Did you deep fry it or bake it?
I baked this one. So it was like egg yolk, breadcrumbs, maybe a little flour.
Almost like a schnitzel.
Wait, so I don't know if there was flour if we just baked it. I think it was just egg yolk and breadcrumbs. Yeah, like breaded and then baked them.
And then how'd you make the chips of it all, or did you not?
I didn't do chips with it. We did not do chips. In fact, I cannot quite remember what the side was. It might have been... No, I don't know. I can't remember. It was over the summer.
I've caught you in a lie, haven't I? No. You didn't have the fish.
Yes, I did.
You didn't have the chips. No, okay.
It was
Jake. I know
snapper.
You had that.
It was snapper, and we actually did use
baked
crumbs.
Salmon.
We used Ritz crackers.
You had broccoli. And you had corn.
Why did I try to lie? I knew I couldn't get away with it. I almost got away with it. I was this.
I have all your
close.
Meals. Anyway, should this lady bring it up to her male roommates? I'm sure she can bring
side.
It up. The sauce.
Sauce. I should have known. Yeah, I think you bring it up, and you can bring it up casually, and you could just be like, you guys are pissing on the floor. The thing is, they're making the transgression. It shouldn't be hard to talk to somebody about correcting their behavior when it's thoughtless like this.
Yeah, 19-year-old dudes, they don't give a shit. You can't offend them. Just let them know this is fucking gross.
Right. Your feet are firmly planted on the right side of history here. What's the alternative? They're like, it's okay to piss on the floor.
I wonder if this...
You don't have to worry.
I would bet this 21-year-old lady didn't have any brothers growing up because she's like afraid to how to talk to these monsters, these little monsters. Mm-hmm. Feel free to talk to them and let us know if you have any brothers, if I was right about that.
Yeah, by the way, also, if you know that any of them have sisters or moms that are around, you can bet that they've heard this about the piss on the floor before. So it's not even like you'll be like giving them a big reality check. Like, they might just be like, I live on my own now. I can piss wherever I want. But they'll come around. They'll come around.
All right. Cool. Let's take a break. Thanks some sponsors, and we'll be back on the other side of these messages.
Woo!
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes.
HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's right. They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design mm-hmm. a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like...
Interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards yeah. to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's
nah.
It's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement yeah. one? Anti-movement seems like it should
be. I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Anti-movement.com is not available. Don't
yeah.
buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. But so it's fitness, more of a fitness nah. yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough mm-hmm. is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% ooh. Off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a little sooner than five. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. You want to know something I started doing recently?
Ooh. Yes.
I am a chef now.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't just start cooking. I started becoming a chef.
And so the difference between those two is what?
Like, I cooked before when I had to, when I felt like it's really my turn. Like, I'd just throw a bunch of, like, you know, you make a stir fry or something. You, like,
kept it easy.
Yeah, a bunch of vegetables, some sauce. That's it. The easy stuff that you really can't mess up. Toss like a...
Eggs, hot dogs. Yeah. Easy. Quesadilla in a microwave.
A veggie burger. Well, yeah, I'm trying to step it up slightly more than... Like, if it was just me, yeah. I used... Like, when I was living on my own, I would just, like, eat Annie's macaroni and cheese with Doritos as a spoon. Like, that shit. That was the goat. That was the goat. But yeah. then... Like a couple months, maybe like a month and a half ago, I was like talking to my brother and Jill, and like over a quarantine, I just like really, really like lost my desire to cook. Like if it were up to me, I'd like rather just order food. Jill likes cooking, so she would like most of the time cook like everything, and I'd be recording whatever. But then I was like talking to them, and I was like, you know what? I think I'm just like, the cooking's not me. I don't like it. I'm not going to do it. Like if it's my, like if Jill doesn't want to cook, like I'll happily order us food. And everybody got kind of like sad at me. Cause I guess.
And then wait, who got sad at you?
Micah got sad at me. Jill got sad at me. Everybody was sort of like, well, cooking's not, it's like, you know, it's not just about like, your pleasure. It's like providing for other people.
Yeah.
It's like
you're on the Domino's app. Yeah, no, for sure. Did you guys want sausage and mushroom or
I was really thinking of it almost as like, you know that Pete Holmes joke where he's just like, I'm like old enough to admit that I don't like museums. It was kind of like that.
Right.
It's like, you know what?
Yeah, it's like, you know what? I tried it. I'm now in my 30s. I could be an adult and just say, I prefer takeout.
Yeah. And I really did at the time think that that was fine. But as I've been cooking, I've one realized
at the time, this is like November. This is like 6 weeks ago.
Right. Okay. And like, I'm not saying I don't do anything. Like I, when Jill would cook, like I'll do some sous chef stuff. I definitely always cleaned every single dish that she didn't wash while she's cooking. Cause she's kind of like, good like that. But for the most, like, I'm not saying I would like, you know, like a 50s dad, like I expect dinner on the table or whatever.
Right.
But I just...
You would just not be in charge.
Yeah. And I wanted as little to do with it as was like, could reasonably be allowed. And like, if there was any other chore or task to be done in the house, like if Jill's cooking, I'm like, oh, I'll do the laundry. I'll like run an errand for us. Like, I just don't want to do it. Anyway, so everyone got sad at me after that conversation. And
I like how you say everyone got sad at me. Like, were they mad and you're just trying to soften
it? No, disappointed in me. Like, it was like just like a low energy, like, yeah, like that sucks, Jake. And I'm like, and I'm taking the position of like, oh, no, it's not that bad. It's like, I'll try to do other stuff. And they're like, yeah, like cooking's like, it's like a generous thing to do. Like, and you're saying you don't want to do it. Like, all right. So I internalized that. I let it lie. And then,
it's like how some people show love is to like feed others. Mm-hmm. And you're just sort of like drooling while playing a Nintendo Switch being like, yeah, whatever.
That's exactly
right. I don't get it, but
that's
fine.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So then I start, this was like over Christmas and I was like, I was watching Parts Unknown with Anthony Bourdain, which I've never seen before. Never, obviously it's a universally beloved show,
adored,
and with for good reason. So my other unsolicited advice, even if you're not interested in being a chef like me, just like watching this show, it's incredible, it's so good.
I think it came up a bit last week or the week before that you were watching that show.
Oh yeah, I call it Tony. I was like, I'm gonna watch Tony, I love him, he's such a good guy, what a man.
Yeah, sad that he took his life now.
Yeah,
and you discover him after the fact.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's similar to when I was in like seventh grade like loving Nirvana, like 2 years after Kurt Cobain had like killed himself. I was like, this band's awesome, I wonder when their new CD is gonna drop. And my sister was like, he's dead. I was like, no. What,
finding out 2 years later.
So I was watching Tony and he was in Mozambique and he was like cooking this, or like they were cooking this chicken and it just looked really good. So I was like sort of feeling inspired. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to like, I just like had the vision of a meal in my head and I made macaroni and cheese and salmon, using a friend of my mom's
with Doritos.
I mean, it was pretty childish, but it came out really well. And everybody, I think because I had like recently said I wasn't into cooking, and because I never do it, and because it came out pretty good, but everybody was just so supportive, like extra, like this is really good. Everyone was really proud of me, from sad at me to proud of me. And it made me feel...
Did you like look up a recipe and go to the grocery store? You're like, we have this shit, let me just make it.
We had everything, and it was like my mom's friend's recipe, who like bakes, everybody like loves Claudia's baked macaroni and cheese. And so I just like texted my mom, I got the recipe. I added two of my own ingredients, which were... I think it was
sriracha and salt
and Doritos. But it came out really well, and I just like had a really nice time doing it. I like had a glass of wine, I listened to some music, and this story is getting really long, but I'll finish it up with this next part. So I was like still glowing from that, and then I was talking to one of my other sisters, who her and her boyfriend play like this game every week. She has a globe at her house and they spin the globe, put their finger on the globe, and wherever they land, they cook a meal of like that country's cuisine.
Wow.
So I like was texting with her about the mac and cheese. I asked her what country she had spun. She had spun Indonesia. So then the next week I just like made some Indonesian food while Jill was like on calls, and it came out really good. And I had a, again, I had a great time. I like.
And then how do you make Indonesian food? Like, you have to specifically order some shit for that.
Well, thankfully, Jill's parents are...
Thankfully, they eat turkey sandwiches in Indonesia, so, like, that counts. And I had, like,
they
a
have
grilled
a Burger
cheese.
King there. No, Jill's parents...
I'm learning all sorts of shit about Bali. Jill's like, they have a Denny's.
Jill's parents are gone from New York, so her and I are staying at their place. And
they
her
just
mom
have everything.
Like, yeah, she's... Her mom, like, went to culinary school, so they have... I was like...
Oh, wow.
I was like, do you guys have... I forget the exact spice. Like, they had every single spice that I could possibly need. We didn't have to shop for anything.
So then that started you off on a journey of culinary adventures, and now you're still in the thick of it?
Yeah. Last week I made chicken tikka masala French fries, my own recipe.
So those are fries, but with the curry sauce?
That's right. Yeah. It was based on a restaurant, and
how'd you make fries?
I peeled a potato.
Uh-huh.
I cut it into fry shapes.
Yeah.
I soaked those French fries in water overnight.
Uh-huh.
Wow. The next day, I think I tossed them with some spices. I filled up a pot with vegetable oil.
Whoa!
I brought
you
that
deep fried
to a boil.
Oh my god!
I deep fried. The trick there, I'll tell you, was you toss in the fries, you let them cook for about 5 minutes, then you remove them, doing that in batches, and then you do it again. So the first time they're kind of just
double fried,
they're cooking, yeah, the twice fried potato, and then over that I put the chicken tikka masala, and it came out great,
almost like an Indian poutine of sorts.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, there's a restaurant in Los Angeles called Badmash that does chicken tikka masala poutine, but I took out the cheese and the gravy because it just seemed like it was a little much.
So you're making, is it an everyday thing? Is it like a once a week thing? What's your cadence now?
Every once a week, I make something that's like a little more ambitious. And then like the other, with my Indonesian leftovers, I like made a stir fry with eggs on it. That's like the old classic meal.
Yeah, just heat it up and add an egg.
Yeah.
Throw it in a bowl and eat it.
But as I am learning, it's like I can, it's a little easier for me to just like do something. I like feel more comfortable. And also I think cooking used to be, I have only been doing it for a month, but like it used to be very stressful because I did it so infrequently that when I did it, I would be like nervous. And now that I've like done it a few times, I'm like, oh, if this comes out bad, that's okay. I'll just cook again tomorrow.
Oh, wow. So it's that frequent. You'll go back to back if necessary.
Yeah. I'll go back to back if necessary.
Do you have photos? Are you cataloging this journey of yours?
Yeah. I'm going to send you a photo of my Indonesian.
Wow. Okay. And then since you're doing the cooking now, has it switched to Jill cleaning the dishes now? So that's my favorite part of cooking food, is that somebody else has to clean up.
Yeah. Which is incredible. Like,
because you'll leave a fucking destruction in your wake. You're not like considerate about that part either. So like, there's an upside down pan on the floor, and you have to say like, "Oh, I guess you have to pick it up," and it's still really hot.
I don't even put them in the sink. I don't rinse anything. I'm a tornado for sure.
Wow, how are you getting these plating ideas? Like that half the dome of rice looks like you have to do it very specifically, like you're following a very specific recipe or photo.
That's right. It was, well, let me see.
That's if I rice.
Can, that's quite rice. I want to see if I can find the recipe.
Wow, this looks good. That's chicken thighs, I take it. That looks like,
Yeah,
dark meat, boneless, skinless, right?
Boneless, skinless, chicken thighs. I went with the chicken thighs instead of the chicken breast because they're, I just like the way they taste a little bit better.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I think I got the, like, there that was some specific rice dish where they usually shape the rice in like a cone with a banana leaf, and I didn't have one, I made a little like sandcastle with the rice. So,
wow.
That was it.
Looks legit.
Yeah.
And cilantro. Is that parsley?
Yeah, cilantro, which I literally just found
out. Wow.
cilantro and parsley and coriander are all the same thing. Truly,
you know, are they really
every day?
No, parsley and cilantro are two different things. They have.
My Google search right now before we started doing this is parsley cilantro. Coriander, also known as cilantro in North America, and parsley are herbs from the same botanical family, Apiaceae.
Oh, interesting. So they're cousins, but they gotta taste differently. Like, I've had parsley, I've had cilantro. They're not the same thing.
This is my text to Jill. I said, do we have cilantro? She said, yes. And I said, is it the same as parsley? She says, it's cilantro. And I said, really? And then she said, don't gaslight.
We got to get to the bottom of this next week. I have to figure it out. But these sticks look pretty cool. How you skewered them and they look like some sort of matrix on a baking sheet. Wow.
Yeah, that's right. We skewered the chicken for the tikka masala.
Any horror stories? Like, did anything come out like underdone or food poison chic or... You burnt it by accident.
So far, none of these have come out bad, which is really kind of crazy. But there was a time, every single time as I'm cooking these, where I think it's ruined. Where I'm like, oh, this is going to be awful. But it's always worked out.
That's good.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say they went from being sad for you to glad for you, really, because they sort of guilted you into being their private chef, it seems
like. Yeah, and I enjoy it. I really do. I feel happy of myself, kid. It's so weird to be 35 and happy of yourself. But everybody was so happy. Everybody enjoyed the food so much that it really made me glad of myself on the day.
You got to start growing your own herbs now. A window garden. Start trimming the basil, the parsley / coriander / cilantro.
I guess that could be the next step. As soon as I know what the difference between all the spices are, I mean, Jesus.
Yeah. We actually got a question about cooking and cleaning. So let's see if we can answer it now that we know you're an expert at one of them.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. This is from, I think, a lady. Yes. Okay. Oh, no, it's a dude. We'll call this guy Tony. Shout out to Tony.
R.I.P.
I have a little problem that's actually grinding my gears. My girlfriend and I have been living together for a hot minute now, and almost everything is great. The only problem is, ever since COVID, I've been responsible for virtually every household chore. Yes, I do the cooking. Yes, I do the cleaning. That's a song that's viral on TikTok. To be fair, I am currently unemployed because I was a bartender and she is still working. But does that mean it's fair for you and yours truly to do every chore around the house? How do I bring this up to her? Should I bring this up to her? Will she resent me for forcing her to do chores even though I'm basically home 24/7? I'm going a little crazy, as evident by me literally emailing a chipmunk. If you were me, what would you guys do? Love you and be nicer to Jeffrey.
Yeah, you got to bring it up. Just because your girlfriend has a job doesn't mean that she doesn't have to do chores. Like, pre-pandemic, when you were a bartender, you guys probably split things up, I imagine. So
yeah, but now she's coming home. She worked all day, and then he's like, "All right, I'll cook, but you still have to clean." And she's like, "Maybe I did work all day and you didn't work all day. So if you cook and clean, it's still 8 hours for me and 2 hours for you."
Yeah, but it's like,
or whatever.
Yeah, I guess it's like cooking is one thing, but it's not like she has a job. So she gets to like inherit like a maid that's going to cook, clean, do the laundry, you know, do all of the housework. It's just... it ain't right. And everybody's going through their own, like, you know, you're dealing with your mental health during this time as well. So I don't think that you can shovel all that work on somebody.
Yeah. It's also the resentment. Like, once you start passive aggressively cleaning, that festers, that grows, that's anger. Yeah. Yeah. So, but how do you bring it up? Hey, by the way, if I cook.
Well, that's a good point. Like, you can't let the anger, you can't let that stuff go to a boil, before sharing it with somebody, because then it's like you go in too hot to an argument to be like, to reach your breaking point and then be like, you never do anything, I'm fed up, is a lot worse than just like talking about this stuff when the heat's just getting turned up, when it's just on its way to a simmer, to extend the cooking metaphor. You got to be like, hey, I'm getting irked by how much stuff I'm doing. Not, I'm at my fucking wit's end here, you know?
Yeah, you can't, yeah, like you said, you can't let it sit, percolate, and explode mm-hmm. like a volcano.
Right. So, I mean, I definitely think you address it and address it as, you know, at its base, which is that you want some help with the household chores and stuff, not like I'm fed up with you not doing jack shit around here, because she's also dealing with stuff probably at work. She might be stressed out too. Nobody's having an easy time.
So you're saying it is fair to bring it up, and you should do so before it's too late.
Yeah, pure heart rule. You can bring it up, but just all you can expect is that you can say the way you feel without projecting any of the things that she's feeling when she's not doing the work. You can't be like, you have it so fucking easy, you know? Not like that.
Yeah. You know what's good for cooking, and I've recommended this to you before, is TikTok. There's a whole subsection of chefs on TikTok that make shit, show you how to make it, and it's stuff that you would never even dream about.
I remember in my brief foray into TikTok, chef TikTok and like fitness and like stretching TikTok were all part of my feed. But the dumb thing about this is that it all just happens so fast. It's like spice, 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 boil, butter over the noodles. And it's just like, That's not how cooking actually is. Like, I could never watch a TikTok and be like, I get how this works now. It's too quick. I need to look, you know, I might have like some kind of like ADHD or something, but I need to like look at the written directions maybe at least a dozen times as I'm cooking. I think it's just like, I'm like learning all of the words right now still. Maybe someday when I'm like comfortable enough in the kitchen, I would be able to watch a TikTok video and be like, oh, cool, that's a good idea, I can take that. But right now I still need like the step-by-step directions.
Yeah, and they do step-by-step directions, but you're right, it goes by really fast. So you have to like watch this 30-second video on repeat.
I wish you could pause
it. We've tried to make some of the stuff. Yeah, you can't pause.
Yeah, that's what I want to be like, oh, okay, that's the step that I'm on, pause, and then finish that. Play, but you have to just like watch the same fucking loop. But you say you've tried?
Yeah, we've made some stuff that's like, oh, I didn't think about that. I'm trying to think about like the last, it's usually like Asian cuisine that we don't necessarily ever consider making, but then it requires us to like order like fish sauce and spices that we never even heard of, and now we have extra, so then it's like, okay, now we can make some more. But there's been some good ones on there, desserts too.
Yeah, building up like a spice cabinet and like the just like those pantry items that you need to cook different types of cuisine, because like really it's all the same. Every recipe that I've looked at is like, no one likes rice more than this ethnic group, and it's just like every culture has their rice, you know. It's just
like, we all like rice,
everyone likes just sometimes rice. It's just the different spices in the rices. But like rice is pretty universal.
I like spice.
I'm like looking at a Brazilian recipe today. It's like, oh, we Brazilians love rice, and then the way they cook it is the exact same way as the Indian rice recipe that I was cooking last week, except with no turmeric. I'm like, oh, all right,
yeah. Or the grain is different. Long rice versus short rice versus rice noodles.
That's right.
That's rice.
That's rice.
All right, cool. Talk to your partner. I think the answer to both of these questions today have been talk to the person that's making you upset. That's mm-hmm. the quick and easy answer to most of this stuff.
Yeah, and you're not crazy for being annoyed by these things.
No, Yeah, that's perfectly valid. We approve, we decree that it's normal for you to be upset. So yes, you don't have to worry about you being the crazy one. All right. The opening theme song was written by Anderson. Yes, Anderson. Nice. And this closing theme song is written by it down and everything. Annie. So thank you to Anderson and thank you to Annie. And if you have your own questions or theme songs, send them to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. And we're still making weekly videos on our Patreon, watching old videos, reading some old scripts that we never shot, answering your questions, going over New Year's resolutions. There's something for everybody.
That's right. We just watched Breakfast and Breakfast Date Part... Yeah, wait, is Breakfast Part 2, Breakfast Date? Either way, an all-time great.
Yeah, where I have a humming noise coming out of my nose for some reason.
Like my nose emits a humming noise?
That's patreon.com/JA. We just crossed 4,500 patrons, so join the party before it's too late.
Come on.
Annie writes, this is a parody of Stand Out from the Disney film A Goofy Movie, inspired by Ben Schwartz when he was on the show and kept playing this song from this movie. Huge fan. Plug my Instagram, A2There2TheZ. What the heck? A2TheR2TheZ. Holy cow. I don't know how to say that any quickly or more succinctly, but hopefully you guys are writing that down. Hope you like it. Thank you to Annie. Thank you to Anderson. Thanks to you guys for listening. We'll be back next week.
Ciao.
Bye.
I'm admitting to it. I want to drink out of a fucking toilet.
Welcome to If I Were You, the only podcast by these two. It's the only one they host, so you better tell everyone that you know. Check out another golden mic in hand. Throw a mirror, another turdy where he stands. Jeffrey James is there and he's fine, I guess. I think it would be better if he was under arrest. Riley Anspo on the review. Take Jeff away from here with you. But that's a different HeadGum show right now. We're on If I Were You show.
Turning this into like this huge fucking witch hunt, this witch hoax. It's not a hoax. You're saying that you're drinking out of a toilet. You said you're bobbing for nectarine. It's a fucking witch hoax. It really is a witch hoax.
If I were you with Jake and Amir, you want to listen up right here and send your questions to these two and ask them what they would.
Was a HeadGum original.